Book review. The thriller is a debut thriller, not a debut novel, because Jen Williams, the author of Dog Rose Dirt, is very well known to people who read adult fantasy. She has two trilogies, The Winnowing Flame and The Copper Cat. Not being an adult fantasy reader, I don't know those books at all, but I did read her debut thriller, Dog Rose Dirt, and it is very, very good indeed. It's one of those dark, noir, psycho, suspense thrillers. Really fast-paced, really enjoyable to read. Heather Evans is the central character. She's been estranged from her mother for years. Her mother unexpectedly commits suicide. She goes back to the childhood home to put things in order. And there she makes a really quite scary discovery. She discovers a very significant number of letters between her mother and a convicted serial killer called Michael Reeve, whose name in the popular press is the Red Wolf. He's been in prison for decades, and things take a more sinister turn when a copycat killer starts to copy the ways in which Michael Reeve killed his victims, and his signature was to remove his victims' hearts and then decorate their bodies with flowers. But he's always maintained his innocence. So is this a copycat killer, or is this the original killer who has resurfaced all these years later? For what reason? The police want to hear from Michael Reeve. They want to know what insights he might be able to offer. But he says that I will only talk to Heather. So she teams up with the senior police officer investigating this, Ben Parker, and she has some conversations with the serial killer, or the accused of, but innocent, not serial killer. He talks in riddles, and the more he says, the less Heather understands. And then strange things start to happen to Heather in her mother's home. And she wonders if she's getting close to a truth which she can't yet discern, but a truth which might be putting her own life in danger. She's not quite an anti-hero, but she's not a hugely likable character. She's a bit of a mess, fired from her job as a journalist. She has friends. She has no serious relationships. She's self-centered. She has bad coping strategies, but she has moments of brilliance. She has a very sharp wit, and she has this useful to a journalist knack of knowing when people are lying. She's not hugely lovable, and that allows you, I think, to get deeper into the plot. And the plot develops with, so the story is told in kind of real time, as it were, and then there are cutaway chapters which show the victims of the new Red Wolf. So you're introduced in this cutaway chapter, and you know, oopsie, this is going to become a victim of the new Red Wolf. And it's very stirring, dark, read it with lots of lights on kind of stuff. Dog Rose Dirt by Jen Williams, J-E-N with a single N. I haven't had time to read a piece of literary fiction, or I'm halfway through several pieces of literary fiction at the moment, and I'm particularly reading books by Abdul Razak Gurnah, the most recent Nobel Prize winner for literature. And that is because I'm absolutely delighted that on Thursday next week at 3:30, I will have an interview with Abdul Razak Gurnah. So I've got four of his books, and I am reading through them. But I have finished four local nonfiction works, all of which are a wonderful example of just what great nonfiction writing and publishing is happening in South Africa. Two biographies, two memoirs, Johnny Clegg's Scattling of Africa, My Early Years. It was a wonderful interview that Pip did earlier this week with Johnny's two sons, and it was so moving. And he was a great musician. He was a cultural icon, but he was a decent human being. And that decency and that compassion and that cultural inquisitiveness shines through on every page of this book. It's such a treasure to read, as is Siya Kolisi's Rise. I don't particularly like, as a rule, sports biographies, sports autobiographies, which have been ghostwritten. Because, I mean, generally, sportsmen, they might be great at their sport, but they're not often hugely interesting people. And the way their stories are told is to make sure that very few people are upset during the telling of it. But this one's different. The Siya Kolisi, I mean, he's such a fantastic human being. And he is so vulnerable and honest and open and revealing about the bad spots in his career. I mentioned earlier his coming very, very close to full-blooded alcoholism. And I think it's taking us time to realize just how significant a South African he is and how important he is. And the way he tells his story, the way it is told with his co-writer, I found it really considerably more interesting than the vast majority of sporting books that I read. So I also highly recommend it is Rise by Siya Kolisi. And then two books about the plight of women in this country. They're kind of companion pieces. They are not easy to read. They're not comfortable to read, not by any stretch of the imagination. But nobody in this country who professes to have any concern about gender-based violence should not read Female Fear Factory by Phumla Dineo-Gola and When Secrets Become Stories, Women Speak Out, which is edited by Sue Inyati. These two books are so illuminating as to the crisis, the extent of the crisis, the origins of the crisis, the etiology of the crisis, and some of the things that need to be done that are not being done, or if they are being done, they need to be ratcheted up significantly. These are incredibly important contributions to the cause of better understanding and thereby getting better on top of gender-based violence. When Secrets Become Stories, Women Speak Out by Sue Inyati, or edited by Sue Inyati, and the wonderful Phumla Dineo-Gola's Female Fear Factory.